Hello, this is Dillis.
Hi, everybody. This is Jacob Minan.
And welcome to another Tuesday episode on the Let's Talk podcast.
Can't believe it. This is week number 13. Actually, 14 weeks if you include the introductory chapter that was done the last week of last year.
Technically 15. So, because we had the forward and then the introductory chapter and then...
Right, yeah. But those first two were done at the end of last year and then we started with chapter one this year. But yeah.
Yeah, but...
Fantastic. Unbelievable.
We're on the 13th week and today we will be talking about chapter 13, which is growing good fruits. This is right out of my book, Fighting the Good Fight. And before we start, Jacob is going to lead us in a word of prayer.
Let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. O Lord, who by the light of the Holy Spirit did instruct the hearts of the faithful, grant that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. So today I get to read chapter 13, Growing Good Fruits. Scripture passage. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah 11, verse 2. During my childhood, my family and I frequently moved to different cities due to my father's job. Each time we settled into a new home, I encountered unique experiences. One home that holds a special place in my memory is the one we moved to when I was 8 years old. It stood on a hill, offering a breathtaking view of the neighborhood. The gated property featured a spacious front yard and three magnificent trees, guava, avocado, and mango, graced the side of the house. These trees consistently bore an abundance of juicy fruit during their respective seasons. It seems as though there was always fruit hanging from their branches or scattered on the ground below. Now you might wonder why I'm captivated by these trees from my childhood. What significance do they hold? These trees taught me a profound lesson about the purpose of our existence. As humans, we often misunderstand our purpose. With eyes to see, ears to hear, a mouth to speak, and hands and feet to interact with the world, we mistakenly believe that we exist solely to observe, acquire knowledge, enjoy food, appreciate beauty, touch and feel, and achieve personal success. However, this is not the true purpose of our senses. Just as trees use their senses to receive light from the sun and nutrients from the ground to produce fruits, we have been bestowed with senses to cultivate fruits in ourselves and others. If we turn to the beginning, when God created man and woman, he blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply." Genesis 1, verse 28. This call to fruitfulness is reiterated in Genesis 9, verse 7, when Noah and his family emerged from the ark. These passages emphasize that, in a sense, we are akin to fruit-bearing trees. Just like trees, God calls us to be fruitful, utilizing our senses to nourish our body and souls, ultimately producing fruits that would endure and nourish the souls of those around us. Often, we interpret this divine calling purely in physical terms, focusing solely on procreation. However, we must recognize that we are not only physical beings, but also spiritual beings. Yes, physically, we are called to be fruitful and multiply by having children. Yet, spiritually, we are called to be fruitful and multiply by bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5:22-23. The utilization of these fruits in our daily life ensures a peaceful life on earth and will secure our place in heaven, our eternal home. The question remains, how do we bear good fruits? Luke 6:43 teaches us that it begins by being a good tree. Contrary to popular belief, being a good tree is not something we can control. Through our creation, God made us inherently good from the very beginning. As such, humans possess the ability to bear good fruit from the moment of their conception. However, it is essential to understand what went wrong, leading us to produce bad fruit. The story unfolds at the beginning with Adam and Eve's consumption of the fruit from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. At that moment, humanity, once pure and good, became corrupted by what is now referred to as original sin. This corruption results in the loss of the Holy Spirit's control over our fears and desires. For the first time, fear and desire intensified within us. Adam and Eve experienced fear, prompting them to hide from their Creator, and shame, leading them to cover themselves with leaves. Alongside our susceptibility to fear and desire, we became aware of the distinction between good and evil. This awareness compels us to make choices between good and evil. Since the fall from grace, when Adam and Eve sinned, we have become susceptible to producing bad fruit. Without the Holy Spirit's presence to guide and control our fears and desires, it becomes challenging to bear fruits that are good. As human, we turn to process our experiences through the lens of our fears and our desires, influencing our actions and reactions. Without the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, our decisions and behaviors often veer off course. See the chapter on desire and fears for more detailed discussions. Therefore, we need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of wisdom, to enable us to bear good fruits. James 3, verse 17. Thus, the Bible reassures us that good trees bear good fruit, while bad trees produces bad fruit. A good person, out of the good treasures of his heart, produces good fruit, and an evil person, out of the evil of his heart, produces bad fruits. Luke 6, verse 45. Hence, when your heart is full of good, you will speak good, and when your heart is full of evil, you will speak evil. To bear good fruit, we must invite the Holy Spirit into our lives. This can only occur when we repent and turn to God, allowing us to perform good deeds in alignment with our repentance. As recipients of the Holy Spirit, we are called to be witnesses, bearing good fruits that align with our repentance. Matthew 3, verse 8, Acts 26, verse 30, Acts 1, verse 8. This is how we are to be known in the world, not by our ability to conquer one another, but by our fruits. Let us be recognized for the love and patience we extend to others, and the joy and peace we bring into their lives. Let us be known for our gentleness, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness to others. And above all, let us show self-restraint in our thoughts and emotions. As children of God, we are called to walk as children of light, bearing the fruit of goodness, righteousness, and truth. In the next 7 chapters, we will explore how we can become good, righteous, and true by allowing God to cultivate these fruits of the light in us. Action step for the week. This week, intentionally choose one fruit of the Holy Spirit to focus on cultivating in your relationship. Whether it is practicing patience, showing kindness, or expressing love, make a conscious effort to embody that fruit in your interaction with each other.
Thank you, Delis, for that very clear read of chapter 13 of the book, Fighting the Good Fight. Again, this chapter is entitled Growing Good Fruits, and it introduces section 3 of the book, where Delis is then going to go through the next 7 chapters covering the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. And while interweaving the different fruits that emanate from being endowed with those gifts of the Holy Spirit. So a quick recap of where we are for those that are joining our podcast for the first time, for those that just received their books and have not had the time to read it, or those that have not yet ordered their books. And remember to go to www.fightingthegoodfight.net to order your book. This book is made up of 8 sections. In the very first section, Delis introduces the idea of a family having a mission, a vision, and a purpose. And the mission, obviously, is our ultimate desire to be in union with God. And then Delis talks about the importance of submission for couples in their relationship, opening up with husbands submitting by love, and then the authority that the man has, and the wife submitting through respect. And then crowning that with the cord that binds, which is the importance of the Holy Spirit, which about these are the temples of the Spirit. And then in the second section of the book, Delis introduces the concept of pruning, because we are in the absence of the Spirit, we get filled by other spirits. And Delis opens it up by pointing out the importance of the pruning process of God being the gardener, Jesus being the vine, as he mentioned in the Gospels, and we the branches, and God then helping to prune. And what does God prune out of us? Therefore, he prunes the 7 capital sins, the 7 capital vices that this describes here.
The fruits of the seven capital vices.
Yeah, the fruits of the 7 capital vices, which Delis describes here as the 7 spirits. And so she goes through chapter 6 through 12 of the vice of pride, greed, lust, jealousy, gluttony, anger, and finally sloth that we finished last week. And so that brings us to this week then, that we start with chapter 13, introducing the 3rd section of the book, which is growing the good fruits. And she opens up very beautifully with a biblical verse from Isaiah 11, verse 12, that talks about the different gifts that we can be endowed with. So it opens up with the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So, Jacob, this scripture, I just wanted to share that this scripture was actually inspired as the beginning of this, because we're talking about growing the fruits, right, of the Holy Spirit. And you would have thought that what needed to be put here was the passage that is talking about the different fruits, the fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
gentleness, and self-control.
But it turns out you have to have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives you
The gifts that are given freely, right?
Yes. And by you using these gifts, you're able to cultivate more of those fruits in yourself and in the others. So, for example, if I use the spirit of understanding to be understanding towards you, to show you grace, I'm going to cultivate in you the spirit, the
fruit of patience.
Patience, right?
And kindness, to an extent.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And just like that. So you need these gifts, and it's the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit gives it to us as he wishes, as he sees our ability, right? He just gives them to us. And so that's why this chapter is beginning with these gifts of the Holy Spirit, because
which engender those nine fruits.
Yeah.
Just like in the prior section when you talked about the spirits, when you talk about the spirit of pride,
yeah,
then you mentioned the fact that what fruits does it engender is gonna be rivalry, right? Mm-hmm. And then when you talked about greed, then it endangers idolatry.
Yeah.
And all of that. So that makes a lot of sense.
So
it's interesting that you actually go on then to expand and make comparisons even with plants, right?
Yeah.
That just like us human beings, plants have senses, but their senses are basically used for survival purposes, right?
They're basically
able to sense the light and sense the nutrients on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
But we have those five senses that
but it's not just for their survival though, because right, they grow fruits.
Yes, that sustains life in the planet and not just
life,
their own life. So they
yeah.
so they serve even the community in which they exist.
Exactly. And this is this section follows from the section on why we have hardships, right? So we were talking about God uses those hardships to get us to work on ourselves and eliminate those fruits that we've built over time. And that passage about God being the gardener and pruning, right? Pruning is not just cutting out the bad fruit. Pruning is also allowing, as you cut out those bad fruit, it allows for the nutrients to get to the good fruits that then grow. And that's why you can kind of compare man here to the trees, right? The trees out there that are growing good fruit because they're receiving these nutrients, the nutrients from the ground and the sun from above, and they're taking it and mixing it and producing fruits out of them. Similarly, we have been bestowed with all of these senses that we have, right? So that it can help us, so that we can take in all of these messages that we get, these things that the Holy Spirit gives us. We can take all of that, we can use our senses in order to cultivate these fruits in us. So how do I use my sense? I can use my sense of understanding to talk to you nicely. I can use my sense of kindness to be able to do something for you, right? I can reach out and touch you in kindness. So there's a lot that our senses were meant to help us do. But unfortunately, in this world, we kind of use them to gratify our selfish ones, right? We use them for the sight, to look at beautiful things. Nothing wrong with looking at beautiful things, but then we look at beautiful things and lust after them, right? We use the ears to listen to things that we should not be listening to, which just continues to cultivate this, whether it's immorality in us, if we're watching or listening to bad things. You know, we use our mouth mostly to eat, right, which then leads us into the gluttony part of it because we overindulge. You know?
A sense of taste being misdirected.
Yes. So
the lack of self-control, the fruit of self-control.
So we make the mistake because we do that. We make the mistake to think that we exist solely to be here to observe, to acquire knowledge, to enjoy food, to appreciate beauty, to touch, feel, and just to achieve personal success, right? And so we forget that we are actually called by God to be fruitful and multiply. And he says it twice. He says it at the very beginning when man and woman are created, and then says it again when...
So in the very opening section of Genesis, in Genesis 1, yeah. 28, and then later on in reference to Noah.
When Noah is coming out of the ark, right? Mm-hmm. He blesses Noah again and says, go out, be fruitful and multiply.
Replenish the earth, yeah.
Yeah. So, but most often we think of this in the just the physical multiplication when we talk,
which is procreation. But there's more to that. There's actually the spiritual modification, which is bearing the fruits of the spirit. So love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, which leads to building of the spiritual realm, God's kingdom, ultimately.
So for like the couples that are going through the 52 weeks devotional, this is a good time to talk about, have you always just focused on the physical multiplication? Mm-hmm. Are you focusing also on the spiritual multiplication? Because that's what you're supposed to be growing. Those are the good fruits that you're supposed to be growing. Why do we need to grow those good fruits? Because we need to utilize them in our daily life. That's how we ensure that our lives are peaceful here on earth, right? If we're showing love to each other and to ourselves, if we're being joyful, if we're bringing peace into our lives, if we're being patient, if we're being kind, if we're being good to each other, if we're being faithful in the things we say we would do, if we're being gentle when each other make mistake, and if we show self-control and not try to take advantage of everything so we can indulge those senses that have gone amok, right? So you can then truly be able to gain that peace on earth that Christ promises to you. It is not an illusion. It definitely exists, and it can exist in your marriage if you start to realize that part of what you're supposed to do is grow these fruits within you.
Yeah, and I like you emphasizing that, because then the thing is, because we have to satisfy our senses, mm-hmm. and we're focusing on the physical, on the here and now, almost every one of them, they end up leading to our doom, because you always end up doing them in an exaggerated fashion. Yeah. And it's almost as if you overshoot the purpose mm-hmm. for which you had those senses. But if the spiritual part of the modification becomes a fulcrum of everything that you do, and as you like to talk about the role of prayer and prayer being at the center of all you do, then you'll be able to still fulfill your senses, end up with physical modification, mm-hmm. but then eventual spiritual modification, which is that eternal presence in heaven.
Yeah, definitely. The question now becomes,
how do you bear good fruits, given the fact that the Spirit very freely endows you with these gifts?
Yes,
these sevenfold gifts.
How do we bear good fruits? And I think that there are three things that the book brings out. The first one is for you to realize that you have been created good from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. So man was made inherently good.
Yeah, you are a good fruit. You're a good tree, right?
Absolutely.
The Bible says, out of the goodness of their heart overflow good, right? A good tree cannot bear bad fruits.
So in a sense, we possess the ability to bear good fruits inherently.
Inherently.
In our innate nature, yeah.
Yeah, God made us
From the moment of our conception.
God made us that way. So we possess that ability. The second thing that we need to remember is what went wrong. Because if you understand what went wrong, then you can truly start to realize how you need to change things.
So
right?
If we all are fundamentally good, then you start asking yourself, then why is the world all messed up? Why do relationships look so all messed up? Mm-hmm. And a hint is a clue to the fact that we're inherited good is the way all relationships start, right? Otherwise, you'll never tie the knot. All relationships start with a lot of excitement, a lot of love, a lot of attraction.
Good. Yeah.
And you hear the boys say, oh, we don't need this because we're in love. Well, we don't think it's ever going to happen to us. Despite the fact that the evidence of every other couple that has been married for more than a couple of months is telling them that they might be strived down the road, they tell themselves they're going to be different. That's telling you about that inherent goodness. Yeah. So what went wrong?
What went wrong? Oh, it's called the whole of Christendom calls it original sin.
That's right.
Right. That moment where Adam and Eve are said to have disobeyed God. I mean, there's a lot of argument between, were they eating an apple? Were they not eating an apple?
So the type of fruit doesn't really matter because it's a symbolism of letting our senses take control of us.
Exactly. Right. It's a symbolism of disobeying God.
Right, yeah.
Right. And the point is, God said, don't do something, and they did it. Right. So that's that original sin. And with that original sin, a couple of things happen, which is very important for everybody. As you're doing this, if you're listening to us, it's very important for you guys to talk about your understanding of this couple of things that happen. From original sin, we lose the Holy Spirit, because you can tell immediately they eat of it. The Bible says their eyes become open. And so something changes in them. And that's that Holy Spirit that then departs.
In a sense, leaves them. Yeah. And Christ has to come back and then say he's going to send the advocate.
He's going to send the Holy Spirit again. Yeah. So it's the book of Genesis is a beautiful poetry if you can only understand it, right?
Because so it's not just a historical account.
Yes, right. It takes you through how the Spirit leaves, but God talks about creating a plan for saving us, and God immediately puts into place that plan for saving us, which eventually requires Christ coming and dying for our sins, and then we now receiving the Holy Spirit again that can help us, right? And when the Holy Spirit leaves, what happens next? We now start experiencing our desires and our fears out of control.
So they become more heightened and yeah. Beyond the threshold of normal. So the same fears that were in that are supposed to help us to stay alive, to exactly. fulfill our mission,
exactly.
which is supposed to be driven by our desires, get heightened.
Yes.
And then our actions get driven by those fears and desires. Mm-hmm. And there goes out the door all the excitement that the relationship yeah. started with.
Yep. Right. You got it.
But then the
you
bad actions it. Now okay, they generate equal and opposite of our reactions.
Yes.
And then you start being susceptible to producing bad fruits, and you're yeah. struggling with being able to even bear good fruits. The poor decisions, the bad behaviors, all setting, but all flowing out of the loss of the Holy Spirit.
Loss of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So you all see it all comes at once.
Right. It comes like a perfect storm.
Yeah. And so the understanding of that, then the question is
the last piece now of those three. And Dilys always talks in terms of the Trinity, the way she writes, because that is a theme. Is that the number seven she's harping on, or
the
she's talking
three.
About the number three? Very important themes that she uses there.
Yeah, but so the third thing now becomes inviting and accepting the Holy Spirit.
And how
that's,
do you do that?
So then? So just remember. The question was, how do we bear good fruits? Number one, understand that you were created good. You have that capability to bear it. Number two, understand that something went wrong, and which is what Jacob and I just went through and talked about. Number three, understand that you have to invite and accept the Holy Spirit, who has then come back to earth with the coming of Christ and the dying for our sins. The Holy Spirit has then come now into earth and is around here as our advocate, as our consoler. He's here to help us.
Right. And I think you already introduced this concept in the first section in chapter 4,
yes.
where you talked about the fact that we have to go to seek, knock,
no.
and yeah.
And find.
Find the Spirit. So which is you have to pray, you have to contemplate, and then you have to seek to interact with the Spirit in
yeah.
every daily situation. And that's how you can be able to then fully accept those gifts from which
yeah.
then flows the fruits that you need to be able to make it through your marriage.
Yeah. And so from people that heard about the Holy Spirit, the cord that binds as being the third leg in their marriage,
yeah.
Right? This is why it is so important, because this Spirit gives you the gift of wisdom to be able to make the right decisions in your marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you the gift of understanding to bear with each other, right? It gives you the gift of counsel.
Right.
To be able to think through the different things that are coming up every day. And it advises you that, oh, this is the better path to go. It
right.
gives you the gifts of fortitude for those of you that are in a harder situation.
So you have to make hard choices in life.
Yes.
And
you have fortitude to be able to bear these hard choices.
And when I hear fortitude here, the listener, I can't help but also remember the introductory section of the chapter of the second section of the book that talks about the pruning process.
Yes.
Yeah, and the accepting suffering as part of the human experience, if you recognize it as a pruning process,
yeah.
where that's where fortitude comes, and then knowledge, obviously.
Yeah, gives you the gifts of knowledge, right? And that knowledge is what you need to be able to talk to your spouse, to be able to understand where your spouse is coming from.
To be able to even
right?
comprehend God, comprehend
yes.
the role of the Spirit in your
exactly.
life.
Exactly, exactly.
And then piety.
Piety. Piety is a powerful one, because piety is your ability to commit to that vocation exactly. that God has given asked you to do. So you now can commit. You can actually commit to that vocation.
And then,
it gives you
and then,
the
then,
fear
then
of God.
Really the fear of the Lord. And you very beautifully then take each of these seven gifts in their independent chapters
the
from chapter 14 to 20, where you really expand on them in the next 7 weeks.
Yeah,
fantastic.
In the next 7 weeks. We're going to go through all of this. And I think that I want to just invite you guys to bear with us. Join us on this journey. Keep going down. We're making it to a path here. Okay, so we've talked about the fundamentals in section one. And then we went in to talk about why you have hardships, why God allows bad things to happen to good people sometimes, because he's taking you through this pruning process. And we're still in this pruning process where when you are pruned of the bad ones, you're now able to grow the good ones.
Right.
And this is how. And so this next 7 weeks, we'll take each one of these and to expand on how they help you grow good fruits in your marriage and in your relationships and your life.
Okay.
So
thank you, Delis. So we can close out now with a closing prayer before we end this section. So let us pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a couple seeking your guidance and strength. Thank you for revealing to us the importance of bearing good fruits in our relationship. Help us to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit, to love one another deeply, to show kindness and patience, and to bring joy and peace into our home. Grant us the wisdom and understanding to rely on the Holy Spirit, allowing it to guide our actions and words. May our relationship be a testimony of your goodness and grace to those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. Thank you, Jacob, for closing us with a prayer. Just a normal quick reminders. Our lesson next week, Tuesday, would be on chapter 14, which starts us with growing the fruits of wisdom. And so tune in for that next week, Tuesday. But before the Tuesday, this Thursday, remember to join Jacob and I at 9 p.m. for a live chat. And if you're a guest couple out there and what you're hearing today, you are like, oh, I want to put a little bit of context to that.
Perspective.
I have a different perspective. Come on up. Come send Jacob and I a message and we'll try to bring you on to have this conversation with us.
On Thursday during the live chat, 9 p.m. Eastern.
And again, as this link goes out and you're listening to it, if you have a question, just drop it on this chat, this link, the link to this chat, and we'll be able to answer it during the live chat. Other than that, we look forward to talking to you on Thursday. And if you're listening,
if you're watching this on YouTube, please like, share, subscribe, and more importantly, click on the bell sign. That way you get the alerts in real time when each podcast is released.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for spending your Tuesday evening with us. And we look forward to talking to you on Thursday. Have a wonderful night. Let's talk about love. Like you and me all night. And let's talk about love.